Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Baby, you should go and love yourself.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Anything is Possible with Ben and Christina today. What's up, Christina?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. You got any plans for the weekend? Anything happening? Anything on tap?
Well, it is super, super hot here in Ohio, so I'm just probably going to stay most of the weekend in the pool.
The pool? You got a pool? I know this
shit. Did I tell you that?
No! You're out there living life?
Yeah, I'm out there living life in my
Damn.
Pool.
Well, I guess we have a pool technically at my apartment complex. I just don't ever go in that thing. I let the little kids play.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, I don't want to go interact with anyone that... I'm pretty much the guy that doesn't talk to the neighbors.
Oh, you're the weird guy.
I'm the weird guy.
You know what? Just start saying hi.
I should.
Just nod or say hello.
I should. I don't want them to, like, think I'm, like... the bad guy, if anything happens, like if someone files a complaint or something, they'll be like, it's that guy, right? Like, no, I should at least be like...
the guy with the trench coat.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's your goal for this week. I feel like we should give each other goals.
All right.
My goal for you is to say hello to at least two of your neighbors. That does not mean that you have to say hello and then start a conversation. It just means hello in passing. Hello.
All right, and my goal for you is to find a friend who has a boat and go boating next weekend.
Okay, done.
Nice.
I was invited to go out on a boat today, but I actually invited my friend over with her kids, so we're swimming.
I thought you were going to say, I was invited to go on a boat today, and then you said, but I actually invited myself. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No.
Good Lord.
Not that.
Well, I've been doing some exciting stuff for me. So, I've been dating. Like, I've never dated around. I always, like, just end up finding someone I like in the dating apps. Like, in the past. In California, it's impossible. But I'll talk about that in a second. But, so, this is the first time where I'm like, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to date people. So, I had a date yesterday. And I have a date lined up for today. And I'm trying to find someone that, like, I actually click with instead of just, like, the first person that I'm, like, we both seem to kind of like each other, so I guess we're dating now, right? But my date yesterday was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah, it's weird in the bay to begin with. Number one, it's super hard to find someone out here, especially if you're a dude, because there's a higher amount of men than women. And then the women are really, sorry, bay women, don't hate me for saying this, a lot of them are superficial, right? They're looking for that tech giant. You know, there's a lot of young millionaires out here, right? So super hard to find somebody that's really just like, I just want someone that's going to treat me nice and makes a decent living and is okay, right? Like, so yeah, super hard. But my date yesterday was bizarre in this realm, where, like, let me get your opinion on this scenario.
All right, so
we go to a restaurant that I choose. She chooses the type of food and the time. So she made me pick the restaurant. It ends up being like this little place, like in downtown, in part of Oakland, right? Or not Oakland, I'm sorry. We're in San Francisco. In San Francisco, not necessarily the best part of town, but it wasn't bad. And it was like a nice food, good food. It was little place. She comes, like, sits down. She's clearly who she was in her profile. Everything's good. We're talking back and forth, like, she seems upbeat and happy, like, smiling, like, it's good, there's nothing wrong. And then at the end, the waiter puts the bill in front of me, and she immediately grabs it, gives him her card, and puts it in his hand. He's starting to walk away, and I pull my card out, I'm like, take my card. And she's like, no, take mine. And, like, I won't let it go. I'm like, you're taking my card, give hers back. He finally's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, give her card back. He gives her card back. And then she still seems fine. Like, I walk her to her car. Like, she... I ended up taking a Lyft there because my car's in the shop right now. So she's like, I can wait with you for your Lyft. I was like, you don't have to wait for me for a Lyft. I feel bad. Just, you're good. Like, so I give her a hug. She goes home. I text her later, like, just a joke about something that she had said. And she writes back, what's your Venmo? I want to pay you for the food. And she was like, it was really expensive. And, like, number one, she ordered, like, one tiny thing. And we got sushi. I got three different rolls, a glass of wine. Most of the bill was mine, right? And I'm like, no, there's no way I'm giving you my Venmo. And I think she misunderstood, thinking that it meant I didn't have Venmo. And she was like, well, do you have Zelle? And I was like, there's no way I'm letting you pay. And at this point, I'm like, I feel like this means she didn't like me, or she feels like she's not interested, like she would feel obligated to somebody for buying food. And it's like, I literally, we only communicate at this point through Instagram. I don't have her phone number. Like, we just went on one date. You've got no obligations to me whatsoever. Like, who cares if I paid for your food? If you don't like me, just ghost me and go away. That's where my mindset is. What do you think? What is happening?
Okay, so I don't know that it would be like that she doesn't like you. I think that it's more of a stereotypical thing where women or men now think, it's actually men, sorry, but men think that women won't pay for a first date. And so maybe she was just kind of trying to show the fact that she can afford to pay. And, like, I mean, I really don't think that it has anything to do with liking you or not liking you, not having a good time or having a good time. I think that it is more around the realm of, you know what, I don't want you to feel that you are the only one or that you are expected to pay because we went out to eat.
Yeah.
So who asked who to go?
I asked her, and I told her, I was like, that, and then I said, that's why. I was like, I asked you, and I was like, I probably still wouldn't want you to pay if you asked me, but at least it would make sense. I asked you, I pay.
Right, and I think another thing, how old is she?
38.
Okay, that, I mean, that's around our age, my age at least. But I think that, like, from my standpoint, I was raised in the era that men paid for everything.
Right.
And paid for everything. So it's like I, myself, had to, like, get out of that mentality and, like, I'll pick up the tab every once in a while because I'm like, you shouldn't have to pay for everything. I understand that the man is supposed to be the breadwinner. The, like, in the Bible, the man is, like, holier than now. Like, the woman should be barefoot and pregnant. Well, that's not how this world works anymore. So the only thing that I can think of is that she had a good time. She wanted to pay for you, which is...
that's an upswing, a positive thought. Huh? That's a positive swing on it.
Right, but, like, she wanted to pay for the whole entire date.
Yeah. To me, though, I feel like at some point she would have just been like, okay, I'll let you pay. If she was interested, she would have said, but I will get you next time.
Okay, right. So how did you guys end the conversation?
Like last night at dinner or on the text string?
Okay, text message.
I just said that I said no, that you're definitely not paying, and then it was late. She probably fell asleep or something. I don't think she's even read it yet.
Oh, does she have a read receipt on? Oh, I guess she can't.
It's like there's a sleep mode or something on Instagram.
But how did you meet her on Instagram? That's like...
No, I didn't. I met her on Bumble. But I have her on Instagram. Yeah, I could talk to her through Bumble, too. I'm just saying I don't even have her phone number. We've gone on one date, right? Like, so it's like... She's a gamer girl. She, like, the reason I have her Instagram is she has it literally on her Bumble because she does Twitch videos of her playing video games. She likes to play video games. And so, like... Her Instagram has a bunch of her video game stuff. So I was just checking it out, and I friend requested her, so we're friends on Instagram.
So is that like you kind of have to fill me in on this because like I don't understand. So like videotaping myself playing a video game is,
and then people watch it.
Attractive? Like what is it?
It doesn't do anything for me, but a lot of guys like are attracted to her for it. Like she has a lot of like guy followers because they love video games, and then she's a beautiful chick, so like they're like, ooh, beautiful chick plays video games, right? Let's smash my two interests together. Now if she could learn to throw a football, she'd be a perfect human.
Oh boy. What, first rounds?
Yeah, she could beat Deshaun Watson, that's for sure.
Okay. Or give him a massage.
Yeah, or massage him, but let's not go there. We're back to true crime now.
All right. So, I mean, how do you feel after that? Do you feel like...
I mean, honestly, I feel like that she was super not interested, and I feel like just not speaking again. Honestly, I'm just like, why do you keep... If she had just said, like, a few times, like, I really would have paid, like, it'd be like, no problem. I get that you want to show me that you're willing to pay, and that's great. But, like, when you keep... When you're like, Venmo, no, okay, what about Zelle? Okay, like, now it's just like, you really don't want to feel an obligation to me whatsoever, which is weird, because, like I said, like, I don't even know where you live, I don't know your phone number, like... There's no way for you to be obligated to me for anything.
Right. It really doesn't make... I mean, maybe that's just the way... Okay, so here's the thing. She didn't ask to split the check. So that's, like, really kind of my...
Well, she did eventually. She didn't want to split the check. She wanted to pay it all. But eventually, right. Like, in, the, like, one of the Venmo Zelle conversations, she said, well, at least let me pay half. And it's like, that's when I was thinking, like, she didn't even spend half. I spent, like, 80%.
Right. Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense. Because I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, if she wasn't interested, she would have just been like, we're on separate tabs.
Yeah, right. She would want the waiter, like, even the waiter, to know, I have no interest in this guy, right?
Yeah, I think she might be a little interested.
I don't know.
I mean, we could probably go on and, like, dissect this for the whole entire show.
Yeah. And like I said, I have another date tonight, and I'm not gonna, like, ghost. If she speaks, I'll speak, but I'm not gonna pursue.
You're not interested, because it was kind of off-putting, because you're like, look,
Let me be a man today. I get it, like, maybe that's toxic talk, but, like, let me be a man on the first date. Come on.
Right, yeah. Like, let me show you that I would take you out to a nice dinner.
Right.
Like,
and I already know that she can afford to do it herself. She lives in a decent part of San Francisco. Rent there is, like, $6,000 a month. Like, I get it.
And how far away is that?
From me? Like, 15 minutes.
Oh.
It's super close. I'm an island between San Francisco and Oakland.
Okay, gotcha. So I guess, I don't know what to tell you there, but yeah. it doesn't sound like there's gonna be.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a good segue into our topic today. So let's do that. Let's go. Let's get this a party started. We are going to be looking at self love, and my hope is that everything that we talk about today is 100% not groundbreaking, not something that shocks anybody, but common sense, because I think that loving yourself is something that we all know we're supposed to do. However, I think deep down inside, intrinsically, because of certain factors in life, like the way we're raised, the things that we've been through, the self-talk that we have with ourselves, the way that we have learned to process criticism, internal criticism, outside criticism, we know these things, but we don't do them. So... that said, the very first thing I want to ask you is, there's a common phrase that we hear all the time, which is, you cannot love somebody else unless you first love yourself. Do you believe this is true? And if so, why?
100%. Well, because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to trust other people, because you're not going to trust they love you. Like, it's a huge, huge ordeal when you're sitting there thinking about it. So, like, if you came up to me and you were like, I love you, but I didn't love myself.
You'd be like, why?
I wouldn't trust your word.
Yeah.
Like, no, how could you love me? I don't even love myself. Like, how could you? Like, what is... And then you would start questioning it. Like, why do you love me? I don't see it because I don't love myself. So, yes, 100%. You cannot love someone else if you do not love yourself. You think that you love them, and then it becomes toxic.
Yeah.
Because then you want it more. Because you're like, all right, well, I don't love myself, so I want this person to love me uncontrollably.
Right. Well, the thing is, you have that void from not loving yourself, and now you want them to feel that self-love for you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you went that direction on it, because as much as I was thinking about this, like, during my run today, like, I was thinking about this topic the whole time. And I used to think that, of course, I can love somebody else. I love her so much. There's so many people I love when I wasn't loving myself. But the thing was, I wasn't really looking at what I was doing, which was being very, very selfish in my love, because I wasn't so I wasn't looking at it from a trust point. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. I was looking at it from the aspect of, which I think is also true, is that I'm completely sacrificing myself to love other people. I'm not establishing my boundaries to love other people. And I think that giving and giving and giving everything for the other person is really giving them love. And that's why I always thought that that was a bunch of bullshit. But then what I realized was, if I'm not establishing my boundaries and keeping myself right, eventually, no matter how much I think that I'm unconditionally giving this person love, I'm starting to resent them, and I'm starting to wonder why they are not mirroring my affection. I can say with my mouth, I don't care if she gives me anything back. I am going to love her regardless. But then inside I'm like, why isn't she giving anything back? Right? That's always there. Right? You cannot be... So I actually had a topic I put in here, which is... I think we should just jump on that right now, because it's where we kind of have gone with this, that you have to be selfish to be selfless. In order to be able to actually give to somebody else in an unconditional way, where you are fully just, this is free love, this is what I want for you, and I have no strings attached to it, I have to first care about my own needs, my own well-being, and my own self first. Right?
Yes. Yes. You can't love anyone unless you take care of yourself. Like, you can love someone, but, like, not healthily.
Not healthily. Yeah.
Like, you can't do it.
Because you lose yourself.
Right. Well, yeah. I lost myself in my ex. I lost all of my friends. Because I was embarrassed to be around him. I felt that was the love that I deserved. And that's a huge thing that I used to tell myself. We will accept the love that we feel we deserve. And that got me through 3 years of a toxic, abusive relationship, because I felt that I deserved that type of love. He was an alcoholic. He was abusive in the mind, but I was like sitting here, I'm like, well, I don't deserve anything else, because I mean, this is it for me. This is what I was used to. And I mean, not to be like too mean about my father, but like, this is the love that I watched, like, between my parents. They didn't really get along well. The only thing that they had in common was drinking. And that's where the gentleman that I was dating, we were. Like, if I couldn't beat him, I was going to join him in drinking. And then when it got too much for me, that's when I started to, like, wake up. And my niece was like, you do realize that you're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? And then I went out, and he was watching football, and he started to scream at me because his burger got burnt. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess, okay. Like, the bubble got popped. And I was like, okay, I am in an abusive relationship. And that's when I started my journey of self-love. And now I am in a relationship for 4 years. And we respect each other. We love each other. And, like, I wouldn't want it any other way. But I had to take care of myself first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I had to get it right in the mind. Like, and I know that you know. Like, it's hard to do, because you always go backwards because maybe you're lonely or whatever. But, like, I would rather, like, it, at the beginning of 2020, I told my girlfriend, I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship ever again. I keep picking these toxic men. I just don't want to do it. And she was like, but that's not the journey that God brought you here for.
Right.
And I was like, whatever. You know, you're like, whatever. And then I got on Bumble, and I like matched with like four or five people, and Jason and I matched, and I gave him my phone number after he asked like, or answered like five questions, which were like really fun. And here we are today. We have a house together. We have little Rugrats, a dog, and two cats. But like, I mean, I'm loving life. But awesome. I had to love myself first.
Yeah. Absolutely. You brought up a couple points that I want to latch on to. One is the previous relationship you were talking about where you're giving everything, right? Where you're giving it all. The thing is with that, too, not only, like I was saying, like you lose yourself and you're not really giving this unconditional thing, right? There's always strings, right? You have emotional strings. But not only is that a factor, but also eventually the person you're with starts to be very unattracted to you for that, right? Like, it becomes like an emotional neediness, an emotional clinginess, an emotional overwhelmingness to your partner, because they realize that it's not really love. They realize that, like, you're not really there, right? Like, you've given to the point where they're like, who is this person? Right? And then you had brought up a little bit about your dad, and the reason I wanted to go into that, I mean, we don't have to talk about any more details of that. I don't want to get too deep on parents, other than, you know, like, I'll go into a little bit of my own. I was in a group session last week, and we were talking about innocence versus guilt. And when we were talking about it, I brought up a point that everyone seemed to resonate with, and I just want to see if you resonate with it as well. So when you were a little kid, because my parents were definitely like this. Like, when you did something wrong, they told you, correct?
Oh, for sure.
And you felt guilty and you felt bad and...
I don't know about all that.
Well,
yes,
they meant for you to feel guilty and bad and shamed for doing something wrong.
Better.
Yeah?
I was a terrible child.
But this is the point. When did you ever feel just intrinsically innocent from your parents? And let's substitute the word good, because it's hard to even... Innocence is an easy word, but when you really think about it, it's like, what does it even mean to me, right?
Right. So, give me an example of something so that I know exactly, like, what you're going
for. I like that you're struggling for an example for this. Like, when did your parents make you feel like you were good? I will give you no example, and then I'll tell you why.
Okay. I don't know, like... My mom always made me feel good. Like, she really did, even though I treated her terribly.
See, some people have good parents and can say that. So I know not everyone relates. But this is what I'm talking about, where it came from, like, my parents, and then a lot of people, like, resonated with it. The times that we were made to feel that we were good were when we did something. Like, if I won a wrestling match, if I was in a school play. Like, you're good based on your performance. Right?
Okay.
And I guess you're guilty and feel bad based on your performance, too. Everything is performance-based. But this is my fucking point. We are all intrinsically valuable. You are a valuable human being because you exist, because God made you to exist, and He would not have done that if you weren't important and valuable to this world. But no parent, I shouldn't say no parent, a lot of parents don't put that in their kids. So we don't grow up feeling like we're intrinsically valuable, which is a problem, and it makes it hard to love yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Right? Everything's performance-based. So even when you become an adult, you're like, oh my gosh, if I don't get this promotion, I'm not great. Oh my gosh, if I don't get this job, I'm not great. If I don't buy the perfect car, I'm not great. If I don't get the perfect wife, I'm not great. If I don't buy a giant house, I'm not great. If I don't go to Japan for my vacation, I'm not great, because Billy Bob down the street, he went to China, and I gotta go somewhere great too, right? And it's like, no, you are valuable just for existing and breathing the oxygen and being on the planet. So I want the listeners to know that, right? That's the start.
For sure.
That's the start. To become, right,
sure,
and to actually truly love yourself, the first thing you need to do is realize that. And that lack of intrinsic, the belief of intrinsic worth, causing us to not truly love ourselves, also limits us in our lives by establishing things like fear. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go after the promotion at work, Of course you should. You should go after anything that your heart desires. If your heart wants it and you, it's something that will benefit your life, you should go after it. But I believe that we truly hold ourselves back by our own limiting beliefs. Right? Whenever we do anything, we're like, oh, but what if? Oh, but what if this? But what if that? Right? Everyone self-doubts. I know a lot of people talk about, like, the law of attraction and them happen. Manifestation is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah,
right? Manifestation. And whether you want to look at it as God, the universe, whatever, I believe that there's a lot of truth to the fact that you reap what you sow as far as the energy you put into the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, you are not... Yes, there are circumstances in the world that are bad. But I don't want to look at something like death where it's like, it's too deep. It's like, I think everything that bad that happens, there are positive things that can come from it. But I want to not look at it. I want to look at things like breakups, because we're already talking about relationships a little bit in this episode. And breakups seem to like really affect people. But this is my point. I can say 100% from my last breakup, and if I'm really honest about myself, all of them, they were amazing opportunities for me to, number one, look inside myself and learn to establish, number one, my boundaries, number two, the things that I do in relationships that are not effective that I need to let go of and stop doing. But then number two, I usually put people up on a pedestal, and it's part of that losing yourself in a relationship. After relationships, I'm always like, oh my gosh, she was so perfect and I messed it up. She was so perfect and I messed it up. And now looking back at my relationship, there were red flag-a-palooza, right? And I can honestly say when I bring her off the pedestal, I don't want to be a guy that's going to knock on his ex-girlfriend. She's a great human being. I hope that she figures out her stuff, goes on and finds somebody that she loves and has a great life. But my point is, from looking at the things that were going on that I consider red flags, I now have also established things that I am not going to tolerate in future relationships, because they are not things that are functional for me, and that's why we didn't work out, because I had things I was doing wrong and she had things that she was doing that, like, to me were not things that were functional in my life.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah. Well, I did, like, I mean, if we can touch on this a little bit, I did feel like it went way too fast.
It did go way too fast. That was a big part. And that's a boundary issue itself.
Well, in any relationship, and I heard this once and it has completely stuck with me, in the first 3 months of a relationship, you are the person that you want to be with that person. So you kind of become a chameleon in the relationship. You adapt to the things that they like. You do the things that they like. They do the things that you like. You guys are in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
You are totally in love with this person because, oh my God, they made me a stuffed shell. They don't even like stuffed shells. You know, they're doing all of these things that you're like, oh my God, like, this is the most amazing person ever. So then after those 3 months come the next 3 months, where now you guys have been hanging out so much that you're so comfortable with each other that you are starting to let little things, like when you're hangry, your attitude kind of gets a little bad, or when you're tired, you're cranky. Like, the other side of you, the real side of you, is coming out because there's a comforting blanket on top of you that is like telling you, like, all right, you know what, you guys have gotten this far. It's our three-month anniversary, and now I can show them the real me. and so I used to say to myself, I'm like, if we can get past 6 months, that's usually golden.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but none of my relationships would go that far, because I'm like, either I was the huge red flag after the 3 months, or they were. Like, they were spending my money, like, they were just being a jerk. Like, one guy actually told me, if you ever gain weight, I will have to leave you because I won't want to have sex with you.
Wow.
And that was, like, month 4, and I was like, and so, like, every single time, I've always thought of that, because I'm like, it's the truth. If you think about it, all of our, like, oh my God, you start talking about, like, marriage within the first 3 months. You start talking about babies. You start talking about this. You start talking about this. You talk about all of the future things. Month 4 comes, and the conversations change. It's either you guys start fighting, or you guys are really getting along and everything's going great, because the true colors start to show.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that you put your best foot forward. I 100% think that what you're saying is accurate, but I think from a personal standpoint, mine is a little bit two-sided. It is that I'm trying to put my best foot forward, but it's also that in the beginning of a relationship, I'm less emotionally invested. And when I'm less emotionally invested, as strange as it sounds, women love me more. When I become fully emotionally invested, and I start to get a little bit of insecurity then, and I start to be a little bit like, how do you really feel? Like, how is this going to go, right? And when I start to question things like that, then it makes the person that I'm with begin to feel pressured, and they start to realize that this confident person I was in the beginning isn't who I was. But it's not really that it wasn't who I was. It's like, in the beginning, I didn't care as much, right? So it's like, when I start to show the insecurities, it's actually a good sign. It means I now care about you, but the problem is they like the guy that cared less.
Oh, yeah, because they had to try harder. Like, they had to try harder.
Yes.
And then as soon as the, like, and it's probably about 3 months for you, like 2 or 3 months.
Where 3 months, yeah.
I'm not really invested. I'm just, this is how I am.
Yeah.
And then, but.
And I'm not saying I'm a jerk who doesn't care at all. I actually want to be in the relationship. I just, right. like, am not, like, in love with you yet.
I do feel that, and I'm not speaking for all women, but I am speaking from women that were manipulated as a child or were self-doubting. That a man that does not care or show that he cares, we try a lot harder because we want to prove it to ourselves that we are worthy of that love. And I will tell you that once we get that love, we no longer want it because of the simple fact that, like, it wasn't genuinely earned. It was something that we had to fight for, and we don't want to fight for love, and so it makes us angry that, like, okay, I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket, and you're just kind of being aloof, but then the minute that you want to put all of your eggs in my basket, I'm kind of like, you know what, no, you're being too needy.
You're being, exactly.
Really insecure, I'm not interested in this, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's not attractive. Either way you put it, like, the girl being needy at first, and then she becomes distant because you change and you become needy, like, neither role is attractive.
Yeah, you just described my last relationship to a T right there.
Right, well, I mean, those were my relationships my whole entire life. I mean, okay, just so that our audience knows, Ben and I went out on, like, one day, and I was the needy one. And why do you take all of your dates on sushi?
On sushi? I literally gave them choice, and they want sushi.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I'm not trying to be stereotypical. You said that, like, I've been dating a couple Asian women. They actually, that's what they prefer.
Okay. Well, I'm not Asian, and I prefer sushi as well. But, like, it was one of those things where you were, like, this tough guy, and you, like, wanted nothing to do with the bratty sister of your best friend. And but you still took me out on a date, but I was attracted to you because you wanted nothing to do with me. Now we're, like, really good friends. And so it's just, it's one of those things where it's like I was raised by a man that wanted really nothing to do with me. I was the baby of six of his children, and I wasn't that smart. I had ADD, I had ADHD, I've grown out of the HD one, I'm not as hyper anymore, but I still have ADD. I still go through, like, all of the emotions that he put me through as a little girl, like, and, I mean, he wasn't mean to me, but I didn't feel like it was a typical daughter-father relationship. He had that with Deanna, my sister that, like, the one that lived with us at the time, but it was, like, I really wasn't wanted. So I had to try so hard with him to earn what I thought was earning his love. And so I took that into my 20s, into my 30s. And then when I met Jason and I, like, my faith was, like, at its highest level, I realized that, you know what? I don't have to try that hard. Someone doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to love myself first.
Yes.
I had to realize that all of the things that my father kind of, like, did or spoke over me, those weren't me. Those were his point of view. It was never about me. It was about how he felt. And so as soon as I started to get to know myself better, and 2020 brought that to me. Like, I know that 2020 was probably one of the scariest moments of all of our lives. But for me, it was the most revolutionary moment of my life in a relationship because I got to know myself. When you're single and you live by yourself, you tend to get to know yourself during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, really don't have a choice. Like,
right? And like, dating's not an option.
Right. It's like, there was not very many things that you could do. But I got to know myself, and I think that that was, like, the best thing. I, like, you know your triggers now, right, Ben?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Right. And, like, it all stems from core wounds from children. Like, when you're talking about, like, you know, trying to earn this love the way you need to earn from your dad, it's like, it's what we were just talking about. It's like, because the bottom line is what your dad didn't establish with you, which a lot of our parents did not, is that you are intrinsically valuable. If you knew from the time you were born that you were an intrinsically valuable human being, then you wouldn't have to earn anybody's love. If they don't love you, it's okay. I love myself. I'll move on. And there's definitely someone that's going to love me because I love myself, so I know someone else will.
Yeah, because you're valuable.
You're valuable, right? Everyone is valuable. Let's talk about useless anxiety.
He said, how many hours do you have?
How many hours do you have? You got to leave soon, right?
this might end up having to be, like, two episodes about just anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Anxiety is such a big topic. Yeah, it is. And especially since I want to start from its root, right? I want to look at the fight or flight reasoning of why anxiety exists. Anxiety is a good thing. Hear me out. Anxiety was put in us as a good thing. Back in the day, right, when you're in your little tribe and you got your little rocks and your sticks and your spears and you're, like, you're walking through the forest and you're attacked by a lion, and all of a sudden you're filled with anxiety and adrenaline, it's going to make you have the ability to freeze, to run, the flight, or fight if you need to. You're going to pull out your spear. Anxiety was for a purpose. Now, this is the problem. We have evolved so much that we live in a world where a lot of those threats, I mean, yes, you can still get shot at the grocery store. I'm not saying the world isn't dangerous. But a lot of those threats don't exist. But the anxiety has evolved with our technology and our evolution, meaning we now get anxiety over things that we have no business getting anxiety over. Like, if my girlfriend didn't text me back and it's been 3 hours, that is not what anxiety was made for. But we get anxiety. It's useless anxiety. If I'm worried that my boss isn't going to like the presentation that I do, that's useless anxiety. That's not a life or death situation. We should not have anxiety over those things, but we get anxiety over those things. So I came to realize in my journey that for me, what the useless anxiety is, and this belief, I'm trying to take care of the trinity of the human being, right? We're all a trinity. We have spirit, mind, body, and I'm trying to, like, make sure all of those are good. So that's part of it too. But I also came to this revolutionary thought for me, where it was like, my anxiety is 100% the reflection of the fact that I don't believe that I am able to handle the situation that I'm in the moment. Which again means I don't trust myself, and I don't love myself, and I don't value myself, and I don't think that I'm good enough. Now take that all away, because I don't do that anymore. I'm all about positive affirmations, positive thoughts, and I am valuable enough, and I am good enough, and I am able to handle anything. And just realizing that and focusing on that and saying positive thoughts to myself all the time, if I get a negative one, I counteract it immediately, has really made my anxiety almost disappear.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, right? And it's real. Like, I'm also running and, you know, doing therapy and other things, you know, like, and I pray a lot and I do a lot of things. But that said, I really think that if we can just realize that most of the things we get anxiety about are pointless. Like the end of my relationship. I didn't hear from my girlfriend that we'd just been on a trip. I didn't hear from her for 15 hours, which is a lot of time, right? And I had the right to be concerned with that. But then my brain starts thinking of all the things she could be doing. And all of this is just, some of it could be true, but I don't know it. It's mostly made up stuff, right? Like, I'm just making up stuff. And then I'm getting more anxiety. It's pointless anxiety. Pointless anxiety.
So I do have to tell you something, because, like, I've been, like, listening to podcasts about, like, anxiety and, like, worrying and stuff like that. And one thing that I did get out of one of the podcasts was Newt Scamander's philosophy is that worrying means you suffer twice.
Mm.
Based on my own experience, I would say that it's definitely true. I realize that suffering is a part of life, but I'm looking for extra opportunities to do so unnecessarily.
Yes, you're extending the suffering.
Right, so let's bring our worries to God, whatever they tighten their talons on our mind, and make going to God a way of life thing instead of a one-time thing. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's true. So what did you do to yourself? Like, you worried about her breaking up with you because she hadn't contacted you in 15
years. Right. And then eventually, you know, like a couple days later, we did break up. So I suffered not only from the breakup, I also suffered from, I lived the breakup before it even happened. I had two breakups, right? I had the mental breakup, and then I had the physical breakup.
Yeah. And it sucks because it's like, I mean, you just did that. So what also happens when you worry and you have anxiety is that your immune system goes down. So you start to feel sick. You start to feel depressed. You have more of a tendency to get like the flu or an actual sickness because you've been worrying. And I mean, there's some people that start drinking more. There's some people that just do really crazy things because they think something is going to happen.
Right. So you have a compounding of problems, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever issue that you're going through, whether it's a breakup or anything else, when you get to that point where your body's starting to be diminished from the worrying, you're not going to get through that initial hurdle that you've come to begin with, right? Like, so, like for me, I know I was stuck in my, and you saw it, right? Like, I was stuck in my sadness over that relationship for way longer than I needed to be because I just wouldn't let go, right? Because I clung to that, like you were saying earlier, you like want to keep that pain and anxiety, right? Like it's still a part of, it's almost like you get in a relationship, when you have a relationship breakup, it's almost like I get to keep part of that relationship by clinging to this pain, and it's like, nah, it's not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it.
No, right? Well, and it's like, it's not just like relationships, it's like friendships as well. And I mean, I struggle with a friendship that I thought was very meaningful. And I invited her to live with me. And she lived with me for less than 6 months. And I had told her, I was like, you know, I have to set some boundaries. Like, this is only temporary until you find a place. While she was living with me, she was lying to me. She couldn't pay the bills on time. Like, it was just random stuff. For example, I had a hysterectomy. And for women, you know, that that takes a toll on your body. Like, I mean, you're not supposed to do steps. You're not really supposed to get out of bed except for, like, to go to the restroom or walk just, like, around your bedroom for, like, a week. You know, because, I mean, they removed body parts. So, like, internal organs were removed. So, like, your body is not in the best shape. So, she came into my room the day after my huge surgery and was, like, my ex locked himself. I mean, she was still married, but they were, like, going through it. My ex locked himself out of his house. And I have the extra key. I have to go over there. She goes over there, and, like, I'm bawling because it's a hysterectomy. Like, I can't control my emotions because my hormones are, like, everywhere. I have to call my mom, who's on a cane, and I have flights of steps that you have to go up. Like, all of these things are running through my brain because I'm, like, mortified that she left. So, she left me. She comes home. Whatever. I get over it. I'm fine. But then I see her, like, I was babysitting a dog or whatever, and she came over to go swimming at the place that we were at, and all of a sudden she was, like, talking to another girlfriend, and she said that she went that morning and had sex with her ex. And I'm like, and the relationship was over at that point, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I thought that maybe I was just being too hormonal or whatever, but, like, it's things like that. It's like friendships. Like, but to this day, I am still messed up over it. Like, I still talk about it, and I don't know how to let it go because I've never, like, with ex-boyfriends, it's easy. You know what I mean? Like, boys, I always was like, oh, they're gonna hurt me, but, like,
she expected it.
Woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and yeah. This was more unexpected.
Yes, and so it's like, I mean, it happened over 4 years ago, and sometimes I feel like I'm over it, but then sometimes I'm like, nope, I'm not over it, and, like, it just brings all of these emotions back. Because it's, like, one of those things where, like, we had such a long friendship, but she had done something similar to this years ago, and I let her back in, and I trusted her, and I think, so, if anything, I think that I'm more angry at myself.
So, yeah, so that's kind of like the same as taking an ex back, right, where it's, like, they always say, if you're going to take your ex back, or in your case, you're going to take your friend back, you need to make sure that they've done the personal growth that is necessary to make the relationship not the same as it was when it went bad before.
I thought that had happened.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that she had grown. Like, I thought that our friendship
had think with, you said it had been years, right?
Yeah, and I told her, I was like, okay, well, we were talking about it, and I was like, all right, but just so we're both on, like, the same mind, I only want you here for 6 months because I don't want to ruin our relationship, which... actually ruining our, like, our relationship being ruined actually saved me. Like, I didn't realize what a toxic person she was all of those years. Like, and I, that was mind-boggling to me because I do think that if she was still currently in my life, that I would not be with Jason still. Because she is, like, a sabotager. She doesn't realize that she's doing it, but she sabotages people. She doesn't realize that she's a narcissist, but she's a narcissist. Like, she's one of those people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, she won't talk shit about you to anyone. She won't. But it's what she doesn't say that is really disturbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, there's a lot of people like that. I mean, yeah, they're out there. People need to be careful for sure.
Oh, yeah. So.
I would just say, ultimately, right, we got to make sure that we're given from a full cup, right? Like, if we, no matter what relationship it is, friendship, person that we're in a partnership with, our husbands, our wives, our, just make sure that we're taking care of us first. I had a little analogy that I wrote down, which is just kind of a silly thing, but it's like, I'm not trying to say that you should 100% neglect your partner. Not at all. I'm saying that if I'm actually taking care of me, I've got myself, like my emotions are taken care of, my needs are taken care of, and my partner says, hey, I know that you always watch football on Sundays, but this Sunday there's an antique fair in Vlootaville. Can we please go together? Then I easily could say, I know I always watch football. You're saying no, no way. But I could say, I always watch football, but for you, this weekend, we can go to Vlootaville, and we can go to the antique fair, because you know what? I'm taken care of, and I know I'm good. Right? It doesn't mean you don't give in sometimes. There's still compromise in relationships, and that's the key, though, compromise. Where's the compromise if I'm giving all of myself? There is none. She's not compromising, or in your case, he's not compromising. It's all you.
Right. Yeah. No. Oh, he compromised last night. He really did.
I didn't say your current partner. I'm sure he does all the time.
No. But I know. I'm just bringing up an example. Yeah. For example, Jason, because I was shaking my head no when we were talking about football. Okay, football is a hard no.
Hard no.
I am not leaving the house if the Browns are on. You can go by yourself. Unless it's, something, an antique show, hard no. Absolutely not. No. Find a friend to go with. Pretty much. So, but, last night, he doesn't ever watch hockey, and he was like, well, they're in the finals. And I was like, well, I don't want to watch this. And he was like, but. And I was like, I mean, that's fine. I can just go inside. I'll just watch, what is our show? Perfect
Match. Oh, Perfect Match, yeah.
Like,
I'm almost done, by the way.
Oh, yeah, well, we're done, and you'll have to let me know how you feel about who won.
Oh, no, I did see who won. I thought it was ridiculous. They had just gotten together. It made no sense.
Yeah. Zero sense.
It 100% should have been Stefan and, not to ruin it for the people that didn't see it, Stefan and Alara.
Alara.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally should have. We're not going to say who won, but it should have been them. And that was very devastating to me. Jason and I were both just kind of staring at each other why did we just waste,
Yeah, we wasted the whole time watching it. Because they literally get coupled up. Well, I don't want to ruin it for people. Never mind.
Right, no, got it. But, yeah, so, he turned off the hockey game, in other words. And he, gave in to me. He knows that I watch all of his stuff constantly. Because we like to sit out on the back deck. We like to watch shows together. But, during basketball season, if a basketball game was on, I didn't complain because it's sports ball. I get it. You want to watch your sport, I get it. Football time, he has to go to the basement. You're not going, because he will watch football on two different TV screens. If I really wanted him to leave and I gave him, it would not be during Browns game. Unless it was a funeral, he would not leave it.
Good Lord.
Well, see, then that's a boundary. There's a difference between boundaries and, compromising on things that are insignificant, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Browns are insignificant, though, in my eyes.
All right. Any final thoughts on I'm loving yourself?
Just give yourself a break.
Amen.
You don't have to be perfect.
No.
You do not have to always be kind. You don't have to explain the way that you're feeling all the time. If you don't want to do something, you don't have to explain yourself. You just need to take care of yourself. Love yourself. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself a break. That's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Yeah, 100% on board with all of that. And just to piggyback off it, if you don't get that promotion, if that guy breaks up with you, if that girl dumps you, it's trite. You hear it all the time. You don't really believe it, but it's 100% true. That's their loss, and you will find something better that's meant for you. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening to this episode of Everything is Possible. And please join us next time. Thank you, Christina, for doing this with me today.
Of course. Thanks, Ben.
Bye, guys.
Have a good week. Baby, you should go
and love yourself. Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.